Thy strong word, we praise you and acknowledge you up through endless ranks of angels. Hi, this is Pastor Will Wheaton, inviting you to join us for our hymn sing at the 2026 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. This year's theme, Singing the Ancient Faith in Our Own Days. Making the Case is Friday, June 12th and Saturday, June 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you
Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God,
who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy.
Father has had mercy on us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with my spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning, and though we deserve only punishment, you receive us as your children and provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 5. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
According to St. John, the 9th chapter. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is not this the man who sat here and begged?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So for the second time they called the man who had been born blind and said to him, "Give glory to God, we know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and you would teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Father, before all worlds, God of God, light of light. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, emblematically indicative is he, the man born blind. Keenly suggestive of every living person is he, symptomatically indicative of a condition that besets not some, but all. For the man has eyes, but they do not see. The light of the world has come so that those without sight might see. He comes so the darkness would be no more. The light gives light. The light gives sight. He does so when he who is also the Logos of God speaks. The disciples ask after a cause for the man's blindness. They ask, why? Jesus directs their attention elsewhere. The man is blind, suggests Jesus, and is before them, so the works of God may be manifest. The man is blind, so he may embody what Jesus has come to be and to do. Jesus spits on the ground and mixes the stuff of his mouth with the dust of the ground. He anoints the man's unseeing eyes with the transforming light and life-giving mix, the mud that is the mix of the two. Like potter's clay in the hands of the Creator. Then the sent one, Jesus, sends a newly sent one, sends the blind man to wash in the pool, whose very name, Siloam, means sent. For when heaven benevolently sends, and sent ones do what they are sent to do, supremely good things happen. The sightless one, in remarkable fashion, complies. In no way does he resist the peculiar instructions of the Word made flesh. Instead, he goes. He asks not why Jesus is sending him to a pool that is on the opposite end of the city. It's going to be a hike for this guy. Instead, the sightless one says nothing and instead does what Jesus has told him to do. May we ever in our lives also be so. He goes and he washes, and when he has washed, he sees. He sees, that is, but also does not see. Not entirely, not yet, not yet. Later, those previously acquainted with the man are astonished to see that he now sees. Others refuse to believe what they now are themselves seeing and hearing. They attempt instead to suggest that the now seeing one is only pretending to be the previously not seeing one. To this, the newly seeing one poignantly declares, I am he. He knows who he himself is. He knows, at least in part, who his healer was and is. He knows who he himself has been healed by. It was the man named Jesus who gave him sight. So the now sighted one knows who, and he knows why, or how, that is. There is much that he therefore knows, but what he shows that he otherwise does not yet know is precisely what must be known if any are ever to see Jesus as he must in the end be seen. He knows that Jesus gave him sight, but when asked, "Where is the one who healed you?" he does not know. He knows that Jesus is a prophet, but he does not know whether Jesus is or is not a sinner. He knows that if Jesus were not from God, he could do nothing. But when Jesus returns to him at a later time and asks him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" the man does not know that Jesus is speaking of himself. And so the previously blind man asks, "Who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I too may believe." For the first time in his experience of him, the man is actually looking at Jesus with eyes that see. But there is more to Jesus than meets the eye. There is more that Jesus still must do. For seeing alone, that is to say with mere flesh and blood eyes, seeing in and of itself does not suffice with this Jesus. The man sees but does not see. He sees but does not yet know who Jesus really is. But what he trusts is that the one with whom he is speaking does. What the man poignantly expresses a willingness to believe is whatever Jesus says. What he emblematically says that he is ready to hear is the informing word of the Word made flesh. "Tell me," says the man, "and I will believe whatever you tell me." "You have seen him," replies Jesus, "and the one who is speaking with you now is he." Only then, only in response to the solely sufficient, explicit word of the Word made flesh, does the blind man see. Jesus marks the moment, marks the definitive nature of what has transpired, and declares, "I have come into this world so that those who do not may see." By word alone, then, of the Word made flesh, does one see what flesh and blood eyes can in no way see? Never can the sightless otherwise see. Only ears, then, can tell you what your eyes cannot. What cannot be seen must be heard, and so God sent his word. For the faithful hold not to the conviction of what their flesh and blood eyes can see. The faithful hold instead to what their eyes can in no way see. Not by sight, then, do they walk. With eyes of faith they see. By the Spirit of truth, in response to the word of the Word made flesh, they embrace what remains unseen. Yet such things must still be seen somehow, if any are to see Jesus as he must in the end be seen. So his is a word that must be heard. We take him at his word. With spirit-wrought eyes, we thereby see. Only then can we see. Jesus brooks no exceptions. There is no other way. In the end, one takes the Logos at his word, or one takes him not at all. Now, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples. But the signs that they saw with unaided, mere mortal, flesh and blood eyes were in no way sufficient to inform the unseen, which also must be seen, if any are to see Jesus as he must in the end be seen. Therefore, because the uniquely completing word of the Word made flesh is solely sufficient to inform what must be known, not just a narrative about the signs, but a narrative that speaks to all of these things and therefore conveys the entire counsel of these solely sufficient things, stands written, so that you may see him just as he is, and seeing him have life in his name. To him be the glory, both now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people, that by repentance the Lord may draw us close to himself. For all the baptized in Christ, that through daily forgiveness the Holy Spirit would preserve us in true faith and bring us to everlasting life with all the saints, let us pray to the Lord. For pastors, teachers, deaconesses, and other servants of the church, that they may have zeal communicating the gospel to a lost and dying world, and give thanks for the blessed privilege of serving in Christ's kingdom, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our local, state, and national governments, that truth and justice would be preserved everywhere for the sake of the proclamation of the gospel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who are ill, that God would restore them to full health in accordance with his will, give them patience in their afflictions, and enable us to minister to them in love and compassion. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who mourn the death of loved ones, that God would comfort them with the assurance of life eternal for all who die in faith, give them peace of mind, and empower us to surround them with Christian sympathy and ongoing care. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who commune this day, that the faithful eating and drinking of Christ's body and blood would sustain them on their journey through this life and prepare them for the joy of the life to come, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Thank you.
your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Christ, our Lamb of God, have mercy on all of us. O Christ, our Lamb of God.
our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is God.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.